All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast, presented by WTP Sports. This is episode 29. We're recording on November 21st. Today we're going to be talking about Patriots and Celtics and the Bills and how terrible they are. And we'll also be doing a preview of the fantasy football playoffs. We're going to have Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy on, so we're pretty excited about that. But first, when we talk about the Boston sports part of it, we're going to have our good buddy Dave Irving on the show. He is super knowledgeable about all sports, and he also is the architect behind the I-Train defense, which we'll have to get into. So welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you very much. Not the architect, that was just more of a motivational tool.
Motivational tool. Okay, all right.
For the ineptitude of what was Canton High
football. Oh my goodness. Yes, we'll save that for later. We shall. So, all right, let's get into it. All right, so we'll start with the Celtics. Man, they are just, they're on a freaking roll right now. I mean, obviously, right? They've won 16 in a row. They're killing everybody. They're not killing everyone, but they're beating everybody. So they have that going for them. Last episode, they were about to play the Warriors. They obviously held on and beat the Warriors. I don't know if they're ever going to lose again. I mean, they might go 96-2. I mean, at this point.
Yeah, just you can just enjoy some nice basketball in June, you know, throw on the AC, you know, sit there in your shorts and just watch the Celtics run a train on the rest of the league. You know, it is what it is. It's what we do in Boston, apparently.
It is. It certainly is what we do in Boston, that's for sure. So,
well, what you guys do, I'm in Florida now.
That is true. So. You get the AC blasting year-round, so, I mean, you know, you don't have to.
Yeah, I get the AC, but I also have some of the worst sports in probably America. But, what, you know, I digress. That's back to true. The Celtics, a good team.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, man. They're just killing it. Smart. Tatum's been fantastic. Jaylen Brown's been awesome. Kyrie he's on a different planet. I mean, honestly, like maybe the planet that he's from is flat, and that's why he thinks the Earth is flat, because he is literally from a different planet. He is so unbelievable. Especially in crunch time, he's out of this world.
Yeah, I mean, I knew he was good when he was in Cleveland. Maybe it's the color of the uniform. He looks better. He looks faster. He's handling the ball ridiculous. Maybe it's, you know, for all that LeBron is, he also can impede the growth of a player, it looks like. He's just phenomenal right now. I'm enjoying so much watching him handle the ball and put up shots. And I thought he was just a volume scorer. He's scoring at such like an efficient rate. It's been incredible.
It's unbelievable, especially in crunch time. He's not missing. He doesn't miss in crunch time. It's crazy.
No, it's all the time. I mean, crunch time, obviously that stands out because that's where the game is won. But he had 25 in the first, and like just, you know, poured in the rest, you know, over the course of the game, saving 10 for overtime.
Right. Oh, what a monster. So, and I'll tell you, man, I mean, I think they had double-digit deficits in the second half in the last three games, and they've come back to win them all. I thought the streak was over.
In half of the games of the streak, they've been down by at least 10 points at some point during the game and come back to win.
That's just foolish. I mean, that stat is just ridiculous. I mean, clearly, right, you can't continue to do that all year long, but, like, they've done it 16 times in a row. It's just ridiculous.
Their minutes are very low in terms of across the league, like 40. Isaiah's like 40 or 38 or something like that. But it's also the kind of minutes that they're playing, and with two of your main, you know, players being a rookie and a second year player, and Jason Tatum, a guy who did not play a full year at Duke last year due to injury, he's going to hit a rookie wall. It happens time and again. It's the NBA. It's a different animal, especially playoffs. You know, you just dial it up to 11 at that point, and that kind of intensity is just, even with like the new scheduling and everything, it's gonna end up wearing on him. And Jaylen Brown, his minutes have doubled. You know, so how long is he gonna be able to sustain this, and what's gonna happen?
That's true.
That's my main concern.
No, it's a good point. I mean, the bench scoring has been very lacking. No, there have been games, right? Baines had a great game, one game. Shane Larkin had a really good game, one game. You know, guys have come off the bench and done well from time to time. You know, Rozier's played well here and there. I mean, he's played well overall, but scoring-wise, you know, it's just not, it's not there. And so you're relying heavily, like you say, on Tatum and Brown. And if Tatum hits that rookie wall, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do, because you're relying on him to be a volume scorer for you, to score a ton of points. And if he's not scoring, I don't know how you're going to win.
Yeah, and beyond just hitting a rookie wall, like, eventually people are going to put stuff on him that he hasn't seen yet. Like, as well as they're playing defensively, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's probably not going to happen until the series, because over the past few years, we've seen the Celtics put it together with, like, less than stellar teams. And, you know, that's being polite with the likes of Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
And whatever Scrabini you want to name, you know, whatever white guy that I feel like I could take off the dribble, and I have no left hand.
But still, literally, Dave only has one arm.
Yeah. Not true, but, you know. I don't know. I wonder if they're going to use the money that they have from Gordon Hayward. Like, there's got to be some type of a bench scorer that they can get. Marcus Smart does everything but score the basketball, and you need somebody coming in off the bench and just giving somebody a break, you know, playing some extra minutes here and there.
Yeah, his scoring is just dreadful. It's just dreadful. I mean, shooting percentage is under 30%, for God's sakes. It's unbelievable. And he's a plus in every game he plays. He's a plus. He was a plus 15 last night. And you look at some of the shots he takes and you're like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, just, they're horrible, but he makes winning plays. And like you said, you put it perfectly. He does everything but score. And so he helps the team immensely. He just doesn't put the ball in the basket. And so, you know, that's an issue. But in the long term, like, they can survive if they get another bench guy. I think they're waiting for someone to pop open. And then they'll use that exception, the Hayward exception they got. I don't know who it's going to be, but it just seems to me like they're going to use it. But they don't want to use it on just anybody. They want to wait until the right guy pops open. I think.
Right now you're winning, so that kind of, you don't have to address the issue. But you know, Danny's already thinking about it.
Right.
Back to Marcus Smart, real quick. I don't know if it was, you know, accident or just a fortunate accident, or if somebody in Dallas has a great sense of humor, and if they do, I want to shake this person's hand, because the mics on the rims were so loud that it was like the misses just echoed.
It was
like, bong! It was incredible. I loved it.
It was amazing. I was listening to it like, that's awfully loud, dude.
Yeah,
the front rims are just like, boom. You're like, oh my God, dude, that sounded really bad.
Yeah, it's like somebody's throwing stuff into a dumpster, you know, into an empty dumpster.
It's
just
true.
Rattling around.
Oh, it's crazy. Ugh, crazy. Brutal. So we'll see. So they got a few more games. I mean, they are favored right now. I mean, you know, it's stupid to even talk about being favored or whatever, but they're favored in every game between now and I think they play the Spurs, I think it is, like December 8th. It's just foolish. I mean, they're favored in every single game until then.
I wonder, do they play, is it Detroit in Detroit or is it in Boston? I think that could be a game that'll kind of give them a little bit of trouble. Just old friend Avery Bradley, Detroit's playing above their head.
That's true.
I'm sure they're going to want to play, you know, prove something.
It's true. Definitely true. I mean, look, they're going to get everyone's best shot right now. Because right now, they're the hottest team in the NBA. Everyone's talking about them like they're great and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And, you know, they're going to get every single team's best shot. And so, you know, we'll see if they can weather the storm and kind of go from there. But it should be interesting to watch. I mean, I thought last night was a perfect trap game. Dallas had been playing really terrible. Had 3 wins in the season. The Celtics have been playing great, obviously. And it just seemed like the perfect kind of game where it was a trap game. And it almost was. And the Celtics just won't go away. And they play such tough, suffocating defense that they are able to shut their opponent down when it matters.
Yep, that you found that out. I think the best, you know, example of that was that Golden State game when Jaylen Brown just decided that, you know, he was going to take over the game and give you a glimpse of what the future could be with him.
Yeah.
Flying all over the place, making steals and making blocks. And as long as you have people on the back end continuing to rotate and be where they need to be, like, Al Horford, that's all. That's the first thing he mentions whenever he's interviewed. He's like, oh, the defense, the defense, the defense.
Right. That's a huge focus for sure. So,
I mean, look, they've been incredible.
If you play really, really solid defense and you can score, obviously you have to be able to score in this NBA, right? The Pistons of, you know, the early 2000s where they won the championship, that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But if you can play lockdown defense and you have some scorers, you can make some noise, you know? So so we'll see. And somehow they lost Jay Crawford, they lost Avery Bradley, and they somehow became a better defensive team. I don't know how it happened, but that's what happened. Those are just the facts.
To me, I believe it's made shots. When your shots are going in on offense, you don't have to worry about getting back on defense off of a defensive rebound. So, and they said that going into the season, like, they upgraded their roster. They got guys that were going to hit more shots, so they weren't going to have to be chasing the ball, you know, off of a long defensive rebound and not getting into position. So I think that has a lot to do with it. They don't have to hustle back after every, you know, after all those missed threes that we saw people beating off the rim last year.
Certainly does make sense. I like that. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if the streak continues tomorrow night, or I guess if you're listening on Wednesday, it would be tonight. But nevertheless, we'll see if the streak continues up to 17, and then who knows. So it'd be a lot of fun. So, but let's switch over to the NFL. We'll get to the Patriots, but before we get to the Patriots, I want to talk about another AFC East team. It's embarrassing. I mean, the Bills, it's embarrassing. To be a Bills fan, I can't even imagine. Could you imagine being a Bills fan right now? Or really ever?
Oh, yeah. Like, they're like starting to get things right. They're really, like, they're showing some real balls and fortitude by trading away really good players, by just, like, releasing people that don't want to be there and don't want to be a part of their organization. And you feel like they got the right coach in place, you know, or looks like they may. They're getting things right, and then they're all of a sudden they're like, ooh, I know the answer to this question is A, but I'm going to put D just because I'm not ready for that kind of success. So let's just, you know, pour some gasoline on this and light it on fire real quick.
There's no explanation for benching Tyrod Taylor. I mean, unless – the only thing I can think of is that if Tyrod, like, did something to, like, piss everyone off or, like – you know, wasn't a good teammate or something, but nothing came out about that. So, I mean, I feel like that can't be the case. But at the same time, I'm like, well, what else is there? Like, how could they possibly have done that without any reasoning? It's just like, what are you doing?
Was it wins? No, they have 5. Is it his completion percentage? No, he's around 60%.
Right.
Is he not, you know, is he taking stupid sacks? Is he turning the ball over a ton? No, no, no. Is it money? No, it's not money because he took a pay cut to come back to the team last year.
Right.
Like, what? Why are you guys doing this to this guy? This is a guy who wasn't even the starter at Virginia Tech.
He had to
wait around, you know?
Right.
He wants to prove himself. Let him prove himself for you guys.
Right. And they gave him a big contract. It's so dumb, dude. I mean, look, Nathan Peterman threw 5 picks in the first half. So this is the list. Field Yates tweeted this out, and I took a screenshot of it because it was too good. Too good. So it's unreal, dude. Now, this was going into the game yesterday. So he threw 5 picks in the first half, which is as many or more interceptions than Alex Smith, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, Carson Wentz, and, oh, that's right, Tyrod Taylor had for the entire season. The entire season, all of those guys had 5 or less interceptions, and he threw 5 in the first half. Like, it's just, you got to be kidding me. You screwed up that badly. And then not only did you screw up that badly, but then you went back to Tyrod and said, hey, I know we're down by 100, but you mind going back in, bud? It's like, what, are you kidding me? Like, it's unbelievable. And someone said, I don't know who said it. I don't know if it was Maz or if it was, it might have been Adam Jones, said, you know, I wish Tyrod had played the second half with just his right hand, so he could have been giving the finger to the Bills sideline the entire half with his left hand.
That's wonderful.
It's just like, because it's like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, talk about like an instant gratification for Taylor. Like, hello, what are you doing benching me, you morons? And then McDermott came out and said, what did he say? I don't regret my decision. I regret the outcome. Like, what? What does that even mean? You moron. It's like
a criminal gets arrested. They're like, oh, no, I'm not sorry for committing said crime. I'm just sorry I got caught.
Right. Like, it's like, dude, you idiot. What? You know, like, come on. You know, and then the best part is that he's like, well, we don't know who the starter is going to be next week. Like, you don't. You think Peterman maybe has a chance to start again next week? What are you, insane? Like, you can't put that kid back out there. For God's sakes, I mean, the guy might have to retire now. It's just...
Yeah, everything that, like, it was said about him was like, yeah, he has some good anticipation, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Well, that was false. His anticipation wasn't great either. He just doesn't have... He doesn't have the arm. He's a fifth-round pick, you know. Right. Like, people liked him, but still, a fifth-round pick, and you just gave money to Tyrod Taylor. He's winning for you guys. Like, and not only that, but look at where they started this poor bastard. They started him against the Chargers, who have a ferocious pass rush.
Yeah.
And then this week, it doesn't get any easier. He has to go to Arrowhead and play Kansas City.
Right.
Like, come on. If you wanted to do this, like, put Tyrod Taylor out there. Don't say anything. You know, Tyrod Taylor starts these two games, and then you give Peterman a soft landing against division opponents at home.
Right.
Seriously. Come on.
It's just so stupid. And it's so Bills. I mean, it's so Bills. You know, where you say, like, how could you possibly screw up the situation you're in? Well, I wonder if we don't start Tyrod. I mean, they were in the playoffs. They were in the playoffs. Like, it just...
And they still are.
It's unreal. It's unbelievable. So, you know, I mean, it's insane. By the way, I saw today ESPN tweeted something out, which was... the Browns technically have not been eliminated from the playoffs yet.
Oh, wow. So, I wonder how long... This is amazing. This is like a high for them.
They're 0-10.
You know, this deep into the season.
They're 0-10, and somehow it's possible for them to make the playoffs. I mean, there's got to be like 100 things. I think it's like... I think it's like 47 different things have to happen for them to make the playoffs. But...
Yeah,
it's possible. It can't be 47. It might be more than that. But either way, it's still possible for them to make the playoffs at 6-10, which is the best they could finish, obviously. But, you know, obviously they're not going to. But it's just funny that, like, they're 0-10 and still could somehow possibly make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you got to attribute that directly to the Bills. So somehow the Bills are keeping the Browns afloat, which is really funny.
Right. It's true, right?
One turd holding up the other in the toilet bowl of the AFC.
I mean, just think about... I mean, look, again, as a Bills fan, and I'm not a Bills fan, but think about it. Like, if you look at it and you're like, I don't know how... They're the only team this century that hasn't made the playoffs. They're the only team since 2000... Think about that, dude. The Browns and the Lions have made the playoffs, and they have not. How is it... The Browns have made the playoff. Like, it just any list that's good that the Browns are on and you are not. That's it. You just like okay, we're done. Like that's it. It's unbelievable, and it looks like that streak's going to continue this year because I don't know how they're going to pull themselves out of this. And they still have two more games against the Patriots. Now they have five losses. They're going to at the best finish 9-7 because you know they're going to get swept by the Patriots. And so it's just like you know it's rough. But
how the hell are they going to beat Kansas City now, too? Like
into Arrowhead,
unless it's Tyrod Taylor in there and LeSean McCoy, and they're just playing for each other or something. Like not even for the uniform, but you know for themselves. I don't know.
Well, that's
I don't know. How
I mean, if I'm a Bills player, like I would just like how do you not just quit on that coach? Like, are you kidding me, Sean McDermott? Like, what are you doing? It's just stupid. Just incredibly stupid. But, you know, what are you going to do? But anyways, let's move away from the Bills and we'll talk about the class of the AFC East, which would be the Patriots, possibly the class of the AFC, There's really not much to say. There's not much to break down. Again, for the second week in a row, like, what do you want me to say? They dominated the entire game. They punted twice. I mean, they're just like, they're on a different level than everybody else they're playing against.
It almost feels like they write the script and hand it to the other team, and they're like, this is the role you're going to play. We already know what's going to happen. Like, right off the jump, they go into they make one substitution. They take out their fullback and one of the players. They bring in Burkhead, and then they just stay in that with that personnel grouping, and they keep Oakland on the field, and they ruin them. Like, on that first drive, people were tapping out left and right from Oakland.
Right.
And it was over right away.
Yeah.
They knew what they needed to do. They did it, and then it was ho-hum from there.
No, that was it. I mean, it just, yeah, Oakland showed really no fight, I thought. And again, maybe it's just the Patriots are just that much better than everyone else that it looks like you're not even playing when you play against them because they're just that much better than you. But, my God, dude, it's just crazy. And at this point right now, I mean, all you have to do is beat Pittsburgh. That's it. Beat Pittsburgh and you get the number one seed. And again, so now, you know, the Chiefs lost to the freaking Giants, which is unbelievable. But the Chiefs lost to the Giants, so now they have four losses.
So the Patriots. Finally, Eli did something nice for the Patriots.
I know, right? Like,
appreciate. You know, here you go, guys.
Eli tried to lose too. I mean, you can't really give Eli credit for that win. It was more. Yeah, the Chiefs.
When he put his arms up in celebration, I'm like, why? you should feel really bad about this and apologize.
Right. But hey, it's a win is a win, right? So, but
yeah, evidently,
you know. So, but now with the Patriots, if you beat Pittsburgh, right now you have the tiebreaker on Pittsburgh, and they have three losses. There's no way that the Patriots lose more than one of the five games they have against the division. There's no way. It's not possible. And so if you beat Pittsburgh, that's it. You got home field advantage, and you're the number one seed, and you cruise into the playoffs, and, you know, you get whoever in the first round, you know, whoever it's going to be, whether it's Jacksonville or whomever. I think Jacksonville, it looks like Jacksonville's legit. I mean, they might be legit, and if they are, they might end up as the three seed.
Oh, they're legit on defense. They have that. They have some depth at running back, but they have no skill position players. So when it gets to scoring, you know, going back and forth, and you know, if the Patriots continue scoring on those wraparound possessions, Jacksonville's not going to be able to answer with that. You know, even if they do stop them a ton, there's going to be times when the Patriots double them up on scores and. Where's their big play going to come from?
Right.
So they're almost there, but they're just not complete yet. Plus, do you really trust Doug Marrone or whoever it is, you know, whatever they're going to call their coach down there?
Yeah, no, I certainly don't. But, you know, Bedard was on with Felger Mass today. He said, you'll see Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game when they beat Pittsburgh in the first round. I was like, what? I mean, it could happen.
Why not? It's going to be a horrible track up there. I'm sure it'll be rainy, muddy, something cold as hell, and
right.
That's a team that can travel. They have defense. They have a running game. But you know, that's Pittsburgh, and we all know that Pittsburgh is not a pillar of mental fortitude.
That's very true. That's very true. It's a good point. So we'll see. I mean, I just feel like for them, they're at a point right now where they just have to fix their own stuff that's going on. They almost don't even have to worry about who they're playing because. I mean, they have six games left. Five of them are against the AFC East, who all suck, and the other one's against Pittsburgh. Like, it's really, their schedule is cake, you know. And Pittsburgh's schedule is cake too. I mean, they have the Patriots. I think they have four games against the AFC North, which is almost as bad as the AFC East. And then they have
but they got Baltimore could jump up and bite them. They have what is it? Three shutouts this year? Like, I know
Baltimore's
it's not
three
great
shutouts.
Teams,
yeah.
But...
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
You know how,
no,
you know how they go. And that's a division riddled with dirty players, which is my concern with Miami. It's like somebody going to go headhunting or hit low and
right.
You know, be who they have been in the past.
Kiko Alonso has done that consistently this year. Yeah, just absolutely been an absolute dirtbag. You know, almost killed Flacco and then tried to do the same thing this week against who did they play? Miami? I forget who they even played, but...
they played Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Oof. Oh, no, yeah, that's right. Fitzpatrick. He went after Fitzpatrick's head.
Actually down here, it's called Fitzmagic.
Oh, just so Fitzmagic. You know. Sorry about that. Apologize. Yeah,
Fitzmagic. It's clever.
So
they can't win football games, but they can come up with clever little
You got to do something, man. You got to give yourself, you know, some credit. Right, you can't have Jameis Winston eating dubs.
Yeah, eating dubs and grabbing boobs. That's how you win in the NFL.
Oh, that was amazing. So, but I mean, the only other thing that I'm interested in seeing with the Patriots, they have one player that can come off of IR. So you're allowed two of them. They had Shane McClellan come off IR, then he re-injured. You know, he wasn't clear from his concussion. So he's now done for the year, but they also burned one of their IR spots to come back. So they have one to come back. They have to choose. They got to make a choice, obviously, between Vincent Valentine, I think, and Malcolm Mitchell. Probably going to be the only two.
Oh, it's money, Mitch, because you got to think. Have you seen Alan Branch in the past 3 weeks?
That's true. He's been playing well, and Malcolm Brown really hasn't been playing. So.
Yeah, he's been hurt. Well, I don't even remember seeing Alan Branch. I mean, I thought he was pretty much, I thought he was
no, Branch,
just not included in
no,
the game
I'm,
plan.
I was yeah. thinking, I was thinking Lawrence guy. You're right. Yeah, Branch really hasn't been there at all. You're right.
And I think that part of that is by design. He is an older dude. He's a big dude. So they're just much as the case with Gillislee as well. They're kind of just saving them for when they need them. When the weather gets cold and when people are trying to run up the middle. Like Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette's going to be running into Malcolm Brown, Alan Branch, Guy, like all these people.
Right.
And then Gillislee's going to be softening up people, and D'Lou is just going to be cutting them up and stuff. They're so multiple and they're amorphous. They do what they need to do. They practice what they need to practice, and it's really on a case by case basis they decide how they want to beat you and what they're going to do to do so.
Right. Well, and that's the thing with Gillislee. I mean, everyone's hating on Gillislee, but the fact of the matter is that right now, Deion Lewis is your number one running back. He runs well in between the tackles. Like, I don't think anybody saw that coming, including the Patriots. Like, what do you want them to do? They signed Gillislee to basically be LeGarrette Blount, but better. But they don't need that because they can put Deion Lewis on the field, and he's explosive in the passing game, and he's been a really good runner between the tackles. So it's like, well,
yeah, you may not get those things where he's going to meet the linebacker in the hole and bowl him over. He's going to slip through people. He's going to get small. You know, he's going to change his pad level. He's going to, you know, sneak through these little cracks and stuff that are just barely there. And he'll get the yards that he needs. And even James White picked up 4 yards when they handed the ball off to him on the inside.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So we shall see. But, this week is Miami, and Miami at home in New England. It's going to be a bloodbath. And it looks like Cutler is going to be out, and Matt Moore is going to be the starter. So not that really that's a big downgrade for them, to be totally honest with you.
It's actually an upgrade, I would say. probably. Matt Moore actually, I think, cares. Jay Cutler is just there ripping butts and collecting a check.
He's just amazing, though. He's just awesome. I mean, like, you just see him, and you're like, dude – really? Like the one where they ran the the Wildcat, and he's standing with his hands on his hips. You're like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, he's collecting his money. He's collecting his money, and that's the end of that. So, yeah, this would be the obligatory.
He has a very soft chin.
He does.
He has
that's
a very,
very
soft chin, and I can't trust a man with no chin. I myself having a very predominant chin.
You do have a very predominant. It's very true. It's very true. So I think that just about wraps it up. Listen, before we wrap it up, though, we do have to explain the I-Train defense, if you caught on to that.
Oh, God.
The I-Train defense was it sophomore year? It must have been. Was it sophomore year?
I think it was junior year.
It was junior year? Okay, so junior year of high school, the starting offensive unit would go against the I-Train defense, which was Dave, and no one else. It was just Dave by himself on defense. And I think like 3 consecutive plays you stuffed them, didn't you? Like you broke up a pass one play. You stuffed a run the next play. It was
because I mean I knew the play call, so that helps. But still, I mean one against, and it wasn't. Eventually, I was able to pick a person with me. And the funniest thing about that was they tried to do some type of an inside handoff. So I took on the blocker, and then the kid that I chose absolutely lit up the running back, and he scooped the ball, and we scored a touchdown, 2-11. So we actually outscored the starting offense. It was pretty freaking funny.
Oh, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
But, man, I guess that is really how Weekend Warrior right there. Like, we're talking about our high school glory days for a one and whatever football team.
Oh,
but hey,
yeah,
whatever, it was fun.
We were bad. But look, I mean, yeah. Dave was that good that he was better than the entire offensive unit. So,
Not good enough to start, but, you know, let's not open old wounds. So,
no,
I've gotten through that.
So, yeah. So anyway, that's that, man. We'll go wrap it up with Dave, and we appreciate you coming on, my friend. And
Can I do a this week in sports history?
Do it. Oh, yes, do it. Let's do it.
Just for you, and this is going to tie together two of your favorite things.
Oh, appreciate it.
It's actually this day in sports history, which is always nice. And I think that makes four consecutive weeks, but I can't remember.
I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah. So today, I believe it was 1976, the movie Rocky premiered in Hollywood.
Oh shit!
So there you go. A little sports, a little movie action for you, a little bit of Rocky. So you know.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that. All right. 1976, Rocky Balboa, and yeah, he lost. Spoiler alert.
Hey, you gotta be careful with that. Some people may not have seen it.
You haven't seen it yet. He does lose, but you know, I mean, still, it was a great movie, and he won in number two. Also, spoiler alert there.
Will you stop it? That's two straight movies. Like,
sorry about that.
People
I apologize.
May not have seen these yet.
So,
oh, God.
But yes, it was. It would have been. Wouldn't it be great? Would it be so Philly for them to just not have made a number two? And just have, like, the first one end, and he's, like, the hero of the story, but he actually never wins. Because I feel like that's just Philly. Like, that's what Philly does. Right? They're like, look at us, we're great, but we don't win. You know?
Yep. We're awesome, we should win, we're tough, you get to like us, and then,
right.
Oh, yeah.
And then we blow it.
Sorry.
I mean, he didn't really blow
it. We're puking on the field and whatever.
Right. Oh, God. Jesus. So, anyways, all right, well, that's it. That's a good one. I like that. I like that this week in sports history. I may have another one later on in the day. You never know. Later on in the episode, you never know. You have to stick around to find out. But Dave with a special guest this week in sports history, I appreciate it. And, Dave, thank you for coming on, sir. And I will we'll be talking to you soon, hopefully.
All right. Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
All right, kid. See you.
Bye.
All right, so that was awesome. Really good conversation with Dave. We appreciate him coming in and kind of pinch hitting for Mike while he's out this week. And we do appreciate that. Hopefully we'll have him back on the show sometime with me and Mike. That'd be a lot of fun. So, but we are going to get you into our interview with Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy. We got some really good fantasy advice for you as you come to the end of the fantasy football regular season. These next 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of the regular season. And you should be starting thinking about the playoffs right now. I know you're trying to get into the playoffs, and you got to try to get there, obviously. But you also got to start thinking about what's going to happen once you get there. Because making the playoffs is great, but you don't want to just make the playoffs. You want to win your league. And so hopefully the advice you hear from Dale will help you do that. So listen up. It's a great interview. All right, so we're going to welcome back onto the show Dale DeMont from the Eat Sleep Fantasy Football Podcast. Awesome podcast, one of my favorites, certainly favorite of the show for sure, and he's been on with us a few times, and he's here to talk about some fantasy football playoff stuff, just random stuff that we have going on. So, welcome to the show, Dale.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. It's awesome being back on with you, Pat. Ready to talk some fantasy football with you?
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Before we get into the fantasy football playoff stuff, we don't have Mike with us today. But Mike and I did have a matchup in fantasy football last week. We're fighting to not be in last place. And unfortunately, Mike, who started out the season 2-0, has fallen off a cliff. Yeah, it's been ugly. So,
yeah, that sucks, man. You know, I was really pulling for him. And especially, I remember when he started 2-0, I talked to you guys. I was really pulling for him. But, man, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had last – I was telling Dave off air that – not Dave. Jesus. I was just telling Dale off air that that we had the matchup last week, or yesterday, I should say, Monday Night Football. It was Tevin Coleman. He had Tevin Coleman. I had Doug Baldwin. Back and forth. Coleman scored a touchdown. He took the lead. Then they reviewed the touchdown. Turns out Coleman didn't score. So then I had the lead again by like 2 points, and then Baldwin scored a touchdown, and that was the end of that. And so I did hold on and win. I started out the season 1-4. Now I'm 5-5-1, and he started out 2-0, and now he's 4-7.
Are you in the playoff race?
I am in seventh place right now, right out of the playoff race. So and he is one game above last place. If he comes in last place again, it would be awful, but then also fantastic. So
is this a league for that trophy, the burnt football?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, nice.
So it'll be another year on the mantle. So
there you go.
He's already got a spot next for it. So
next year, I know Mike's probably listening to this. Mike, there's always next year, man.
That's
like,
true.
Let's get it together. We'll start planning like April, May, June. Mike, you call me, and we'll get your season back next year.
All right, I'm down with it, man. I'm down with it because he needs the help, and I could use the help. I listen to the show, and I get the help, but he might need a little extra help, maybe a little tutoring. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Some one-on-one time.
Exactly.
We got him covered.
So, all right, I like it. So let's get into the playoffs, fantasy football playoffs. Obviously, around the corner this week is week 12. Then we'll go into week 13, which is next week, and then the playoffs are right after that. So we're trying to kind of solidify our rosters before the playoffs. So, you know, pick up some guys, maybe trade for some guys, but then also be aware of guys that have soft schedules or maybe play well towards the end of the year. So I know we have a few guys in mind, so I wanted to bring you on to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess I'll talk a little bit about some running backs here that I like that have good schedules, maybe guys that aren't on top of your depth charts here. The Philadelphia running backs, we're not really sure what's going on there with Clement and Blunt and Jay Ajayi. I still have Jay Ajayi as a running back 2. If you have Jay Ajayi going into the playoffs, I think you're going to be just okay. They have the Rams, the Giants, and Oakland week 14, 15, 16, all great. That's just a great schedule for running backs. All of them pretty much at the bottom of the league in run defense, allowing a lot of points to fantasy running backs. So you're good there if you have Jay Ajayi. As far as Clement and Blunt, I know there's a lot of talk, and you know, if you guys are picking him up off the waivers, I don't trust him yet. Ajayi, even though he didn't get a ton of carries going into the fantasy playoffs, I think you're going to be just fine with Ajayi.
Yeah, it seems like he's the big play guy. You know, he may not be the short yardage guy, or he's going to get 30 carries a game or whatever, but he's definitely that big play guy who's going to hit a long run. He's hit a long run, I think, in every game he's played for them, hasn't he? So it seems like, you know, he might be that guy as you move forward, so.
Yeah. I mean, Clement, too, he's a great athlete, and I know he can break loose for some big runs, too, and he's really explosive, but I'm trusting Jay Ajayi here. They signed him on for a reason, and I think they're going to weigh heavily on him coming into the fantasy playoffs. So Mike taking another couple of weeks or week or two, but week 14, 15, 16 are looking really good for him.
I like it.
DeMarco Murray and Lamar Miller both have pretty good schedules coming into the playoffs. Again, both of these are running back 2 type guys. Don't bail on him. Lamar Miller got a little, I guess you can call it, lucky with Foreman being injured out for the rest of the year, his handcuff. So it's a Lamar Miller show pretty much. I know Ellington was just signed to Houston as well. I'm not worried about Andre Ellington taking Lamar Miller's spot. Lamar Miller has San Francisco and Jacksonville in week 14 and 15. So you're good with Lamar Miller. You start him with confidence in the fantasy playoffs. And same thing goes with DeMarco Murray. He has San Francisco and the Rams. So you're looking good there. Both RB2 guys that I would be excited to play in the playoffs. If you don't have them, the trade deadline's coming up, and you're looking for that RB2, you know, even Jay Ajayi, you might be able to buy low on him. And he's a solid RB2, like I said. So definitely look out for him in your leagues.
All right. I like that. Yeah, freaking Foreman was stealing carries from me. I had Lamar Miller. I was in a play draft tournament. Had Lamar Miller and stole 2 damn touchdowns from me. So
yeah, you know, last game was kind of weird because all of a sudden, I mean, the trend for Foreman wasn't great. I mean, it stayed pretty consistent with the amount of snaps that Foreman was taking, the amount of carries. Lamar Miller was definitely the bell cow there, over the last, say, 4, 5, 6 games with no question. And the last game was weird. They ran him hard, and then you saw what happened, you know, when he got injured. So, I was a little nervous watching that game, watching Foreman's carries get more and more, you know, bubbled up. And then, you know, of course, the touchdowns didn't help, and I was getting a little worried. But Lamar Miller has nothing to worry about now.
Right. Yeah, at this point.
Yep.
Nice.
Some of the wide receivers I want to talk about really quick. I know Devin Funchess has a really good schedule, weeks 14 through 16. The Oakland wide receivers as well, Crabtree and Amari Cooper. I like Crabtree a little bit better. Cooper definitely has the opportunity to score a lot, but if I'm picking one or the other, it's definitely Crabtree over Cooper. And Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen has Kansas City and the New York Jets in week 15 and 16. So that's looking pretty good for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Keenan Allen, Jesus Christ. I mean, that last week was ridiculous. And that, I think that's what people have been waiting for all year, and they finally got it from him, you know, in a big situation. You know, we're coming down towards the end of it, and if you gave up on Keenan Allen and traded him away for pennies on the dollar earlier in the year when he wasn't doing much, it sucked for you. But, I mean, if you held on to him and kept him and, you know, paid off a hell of a lot with, you know, 12 or whatever it was, and he had one touchdown. Was it just one touchdown he had?
I think two touchdowns, actually.
Was it two? But yeah, it was.
Yeah,
he had a monster game either way.
I could be. Yeah, it was a monster game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, obviously don't expect that week to week. But
of course,
fantasy
right.
playoffs are soft for him, so you could start Keenan Allen with confidence. A tight end, actually, I want to talk about, I don't think he's talked about enough, is Jack Doyle. I grabbed him a couple weeks ago knowing that he had a pretty good schedule in the playoffs. He's actually been a top 10 tight end for the year, and for the last 3 to 5 weeks, he's been a top, I think, 6 tight end in most formats. So Jack Doyle is a tight end that you want to target if you've been streaming tight ends. I know if you listen to my podcast, Easily Fantasy, you know that, you know, I talk a lot about streaming tight ends. If you did, you could somehow grab Jack Doyle to finish out your season. He plays Buffalo, which is kind of middle of the road in week 14, but then 15, 16, he plays Denver and Baltimore, both really soft defenses against tight ends.
Yeah.
And his quarterback, Brissett, definitely knows how to throw to him. So I'm excited about having Jack Doyle on a couple of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, it seemed like a little bit of a learning curve at the beginning of the year, at least, you know, them kind of feeling each other out.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But once they did, you know, he's definitely been putting up numbers. So
Yep. Last but not least, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't talk about Tyrod Taylor with you, Pat. Tyrod Taylor, I was a little nervous, you know, when they said they were benching him last week until I saw his backup, Nathan Peterman.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, with the 5 interceptions. So I'm anticipating Tyrod Taylor to start the rest of the year. And if he does, Tyrod has a terrific schedule. And actually, week one, I was already, like, salivating at Tyrod's schedule for weeks 14, 15, and 16. And if you happen to play week 17 playoffs, he has a great schedule there, too. So Tyrod Taylor is a streamer. A lot of people maybe dropped him. You could pick him up for free. He plays Indianapolis, Miami, New England. Sorry, Pat. But it is a good matchup for him. And then Miami to get in week 17. So.
Well, and that's the thing about the Patriots, too. The Patriots defense, you want to start quarterbacks against the Patriots defense because they're going to put up yards. They may not score a bunch of touchdowns,
but
they're going to put up yards. And they don't typically, you know, the Patriots had a few turnovers against Oakland, but they don't typically turn the ball over a ton. And
right.
So it's like they're going to throw for a bunch of yards. They may not throw many touchdowns, but they're going to throw for a bunch of yards, and they're probably not going to turn the ball over much. So you're going to get points at least from that.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe Tyrod ends up throwing, you know, that could be a game where it's a blowout and Tyrod throws 2 touchdown passes late. You know, who knows?
Exactly. I mean, well, the good thing about Tyrod Taylor is he can throw for 200 yards, but he's going to get you 60 yards rushing, maybe a rushing touchdown, maybe a passing touchdown, and come up with a nice, you know, 25-point game, you know, for you. So, and especially against somebody like New England where they're going to have to keep up. I like it. And you notice I'm not talking about any of the Buffalo wide receivers. I don't trust them as much as I love Tyrod Taylor's schedule. The wide receivers, Tyrod just doesn't throw it enough. He doesn't take enough chances.
Right.
And so, I mean, that helps his fantasy value too, you know, with the interceptions and stuff. But I'm not trusting Charles Clay. I'm not trusting Zay Jones or any of those guys, Kelvin Benjamin. I'll leave them on the table, but Tyrod Taylor I'm excited about.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he's kind of like a middle-class Russell Wilson. I don't want to say a poor man's Russell Wilson. He's kind of like a middle-class Russell Wilson. You know, like He's not going to do as much as Russell Wilson does, but he gets that same type of thing where he's going to have you, he's going to give you rushing yards, he's going to give you some passing yards, and you'll mix in a few touchdowns here and there. And it could be passing, could be rushing, and you know, before you know it, you get a 20-point game out of him.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's a little sneaky. I mean, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he's really, really careful with the ball. I mean, you can say whatever you want about him. I mean, he doesn't throw for a ton of yards, but you know, he's not a quote unquote gunslinger. But he'll take care of the ball for you, and you know, if he gets 150 yards or 200 yards and gets the win, I think he's okay with that. Right. I think the team is too.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
So now we had talked about a little bit, you know, some stud guys who maybe don't perform as well, just kind of historically in the fantasy playoffs. There are a few guys like that, aren't there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There are. I got a list of just a few here. You know, every year we're talking about this off air, Pat, but you know, there's guys every year that, you know, you have them, you know, I know Tom Brady in the past has really sucked it up like week 15 or 16 every year for the last like 3 or 4 years. He's played great all year for you. Then he has like a 10-point game and you're like, what the hell happened? There's a couple guys that are on my list that definitely can happen. There's not much you can do. You know, if you have Le'Veon Bell, they're playing Houston week 16. Houston, I think, has the best run defense in fantasy football, at least. And he plays New England week 15. Say what you want about New England's pass defense, their run defense is actually pretty well improved, and I think they can contain Le'Veon Bell here in week 15. So that concerns me. We have a couple good weeks from Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram plays Atlanta twice, though, in week 14 and week 16. That scares me. I'm a Mark Ingram owner in a few leagues, and that has, you know, me a little nervous because Atlanta knows how to stop a running back if they need to.
Right.
Other guys, Julio Jones has kind of a rough schedule. Cameron Brate, beware. Greg Olsen, somebody, if you're holding on to Greg Olsen, hopefully, you know, you're going to get a good game or two out of him. But he plays Minnesota, Green Bay in weeks 14 and 15. Yikes. So I'm a little nervous about that. So, you know, and T.Y. Hilton, he has his own struggles, and it's not going to get any easier when he plays Denver and Baltimore in weeks 15 and 16 as well.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, like you say, I mean, it's tough to bench any of those guys in that situation. But
yeah, it is. Just beware. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you won't. There's not much you can do. You're not going to bench Le'Veon Bell. You know, no matter who you are. But you know, those are the guys that, you know, could sneakily, you know, somehow get you. You know, Le'Veon Bell could end up with a 6 or 7 point game.
Right.
And you know, just don't be surprised.
Well, and it's almost like a caution if you're trying to get one of those guys in a trade, right? Don't give up too much to get a guy like Le'Veon Bell because, sure, you know, he could potentially, you know, put up a stinker of a game during the fantasy playoffs, and then you end up losing because you traded for Le'Veon Bell.
Right. I think, I mean, if the trade deadline's coming up and you are really nervous about his schedule week 15 and 16, you know, I think the only guy I would maybe trade him for is Todd Gurley at this point. But even then, In a PPR format, I wouldn't.
No.
But, you know, I mean, that's the only guy I would even entertain at this point. Right. So there's not much you're going
to
do.
Well, I was saying someone trading for him and giving up the house basically to get him.
Sure.
Because,
sure,
I mean, sure. Yeah, you're not trading. please don't trade away Le'Veon Bell unless you want to trade him to me. Please don't trade away Le'Veon Bell. Exactly. At the trade deadline because you're worried about his playoff matchups, you know?
But, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, don't overthink it. I think this is a big thing, too. I know I'm talking a lot about schedules here. But don't overthink it. You know, if you have a stud, you start him, and just let it be that.
Right. Julio's a guy that I'm worried about in general. I don't have him on any of my teams, but he just, in general, hasn't had a great year. I feel like he struggled a lot with injuries. And, you know, Ryan's had a decent year, but it's almost like Sanu is having a better year than Julio Jones is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's concerning, certainly, you know.
It is. It is. Yeah, I mean, the targets and the opportunity have been there for Jones. He just hasn't cashed in. I mean, Julio Jones hasn't scored a touchdown since week 7 against New England. So.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's it. You got anything else for us that you want to?
No. No, man. I think you know, everybody listening, gearing up for fantasy football. If you haven't lost interest in fantasy football yet, you're probably at least in the race for the playoffs, which is nice. So.
Yeah, that's good. Now, where can they find you, Dale?
You can find me on Twitter at EatSleepFF. You find us on Facebook and Instagram too. Our website, EatSleepFantasy.com, as well, and check out our podcast and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It honestly is the best fantasy football podcast out there.
Thanks, man.
You know, it's just a lot of fun. You guys have a lot of fun with it. You know, there's a lot of joking around and messing around. And
we try not to take things too serious. I know, you know, fantasy football can get serious when you're playing for big money and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a game. You know, we all got to come to a realization, like, we're just playing a game on the computer. Right. You know, that's what it really is. And, you know, if you can't take a joke and, you know, if you only want to listen to monotone stats for 60 minutes, we're probably not going to be the ones for you. But, right. You know, whatever. So,
yeah,
I don't sell my podcast very well. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I mean, that's what people want. I mean, shoot, they're not listening to us for that either. So,
right.
You know. So, yeah. Well,
cool, man.
Thanks for coming on again, Dale. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. I appreciate being on, and you got to calling on Friday again, Pat. We'd love to have you on. You've been calling in the last couple of weeks, and we appreciate
it.
So.
Yeah, live show Friday night, East Sleep Fantasy, yeah. Right?
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Nice.
All right, buddy.
All right, Dale. Take care.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. Bye. All right. So, thanks again for Dale coming on the show. A lot of fun. Always good having him on. We appreciate it. So that pretty much does it for the show. I do have one more this week in sports history. And again, it is from today, November 21st, from 1934. The San Francisco Seals of the Pacific Coast League sell Joe DiMaggio to the New York Yankees for $50,000, which 1934, $50,000 must have been a shitload of money. So interestingly enough, actually, he remained with the Seals for the 1935 season. Hit .398 with 34 homers and 154 RBIs. They won the Pacific Coast League, and he was named MVP of the PCL. Wasn't .406, though, just to clarify. Wasn't .406, .398. Pretty good, not .406. So, anyways, so do want to give a shout-out to Dale for coming on the show. We appreciate that. Again, that's Eat Sleep Fantasy. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them all over the place. At EatSleepFF is their Twitter handle. So thanks to him for coming on again. Thanks to Dave for coming on. Appreciate that. Kind of stepping in, pinch hitting for us while Mike is out this week. And hopefully we'll get him back on the show as well when Mike is actually here too. That'll be fun. And also want to give a shout out to M.Dot and Core for the outro music. M.Dot is on Instagram and Twitter at MDOTBoston. And he's also on iTunes and Spotify. So you can check him out. And Core is at Core of EMS. And Core is with a K. So it's K-O-R-E of E-M-S. So check them out. We'd appreciate that. And we actually, we're, again, on Twitter. And we actually have a Facebook account now. It's just Weekend Warrior Podcast on Facebook. Look us up and you can follow us there. All that information is on Facebook as well. As well as our Twitter account, our Twitter handle, and our email address are exactly the same. Email is weekendwarpod@gmail.com. No E's in weekend. So it's WKNDWARPOD@gmail.com. And then the Twitter handle is @weekendwarpod. And again, no E's. So it's @WKNDWARPOD. So reach out. We'd appreciate that. So you can send us an email. You can send us a tweet. You can contact us on Facebook. Or maybe, just maybe, you've been genetically altered by nuclear testing. And you just need to find a place to give your hot sports takes. And so you start terrorizing large cities, specifically New York City, as a matter of fact. And we understand. Look, we know that you turn Madison Square Garden into like your nest. And that you've been tunneling under the city and doing all sorts of crazy shit. We get that, okay? And we understand you. We know you just want to drop off your hot sports takes to someone. You need someone to give it to, okay? But not everyone gets that. The government doesn't understand. People don't get it. We know that, okay? So, give your hot sports takes to us, and we'll take care of them. We do have the help of Matthew Broderick and Jean Renault, and so we'll be able to take care of those things. And then you don't have to worry about it, and no one else has to worry about you terrorizing those their cities, okay? So we appreciate you. By the way, that movie had a great soundtrack. P. Diddy and Jimmy Page, Come With Me. They had the Wallflowers in there. Green Day in there. It was a great, great album. So check that album out. That's from like the 90s, but check that album out. It's a good, it's a solid album. So Anyways, that was a little off topic, but that's okay. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. We hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And hopefully, Mike will be back next week. And yeah, we'll give you another good show. So we'll see if the Celtics can keep their streak alive. Keep streaking. Hopefully the Patriots can keep their streak alive as well. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.